Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Hard Truth with myself, David Vance, and Alana Mercer. Hi, Alana.
Hi, David. Good to see you.
And good to see you as well. The week flies by very quickly between one of these shows and the next, doesn't it? Or maybe that's just age.
Indeed, it just goes by too quickly.
Well, the thing is, Alana, a lot of folks tuned in and watched the episode last week, especially over in Rumble. So a big thank you to everybody who is getting into our weekly Hard Truths. So I know both of us appreciate all that support and the opportunity to speak as we see things, Alana, because that's really all we're trying to do.
And it's good to know one has a place on Rumble because you get so fixated on the primacy of the Taliban tube, and you feel almost desperate when they have a thing against you. Definitely an algorithm going there. They haven't detected me quite yet, but yeah. So it's good to know we do have a home at Rumble, and it is free and free of censorship.
Exactly. You know, I'm currently on a 7-day ban on Taliban Tube, as you know.
What have you done?
I deserve it, you see, for the egregious crime of suggesting back in May of this year that if people want to hug each other, they should hug each other. And that, according to Taliban Tube, that's going against the World Health Organization's advice. So, sure about that, Alana. Don't think I need to be given advice who I hug or who I don't hug. What do you think?
I'm speechless. I have no words. I'll just leave it at that. I'm speechless. Yes. So you know for sure that was the advice to hug and to show some affection to people who are absolutely withering under this COVID cartel. So that got you. Seen you say anything offensive except hard truths. Extremely polite, mild-mannered man who's an absolute object of retaliation by Twitter and Taliban Tube. So let's segue into Twitter. You have some news for me.
Well, we have, yeah. So let's start off top of the show. Let's go Twitter. So on the subject of Twitter, as you know, Alana, I was removed from that particular platform 2020, I think about a year ago now, actually, again for speaking hard truths. But Twitter itself has been in the news. So if we can bring up the exciting news that Jack Dorsey, at Jack at Twitter, 45-year-old founder, who's a multi-billionaire, by the way, has stepped down, Alana, from the platform. Now, he runs another payments company called Square, which is worth $100 billion. So I think he's going to be financially okay. I don't think we're going to have to do a GoFundMe for Jack. But so my heart was broken when I discovered that Jack had stepped down. Did you pick up on that news, Alana?
Well, you sent me an article from the Daily Mail, which does seem to be very tabloid and trashy, but it does get, is that true? But it does
Absolutely.
Get truth
yeah.
that the American media, you have to search for. And it certainly seems to be the Wokerati is not quite happy with Jack. And I think we might miss him by the sounds of the gentleman who's superseding him. And frankly, is this another case? May I say something that you would never say? You are all too polite, my friend. Another white man shown the door?
Well, it's interesting. It may well be, because if we bring up, Alana, let's bring up, if we can, Twitter's, this is the new sheriff in town, Alana. It's Parag Agrawal, I think, who is the new, demanding apparently, boss of Twitter. He is taking over from Dorsey. I should say he certainly adds much needed diversity, apparently, at the top of the Twitter tree. And there was a couple of things from him I wanted to talk to you about, because this guy, this is interesting. If we can bring up Parag's Twitter, because Twitter never forgets, Alana. Back in 2010, and I was on Twitter back in those days, Parag said, quoted, if they are not gonna make a distinction between Muslims and extremists, then why should I distinguish between white people and racists?
Yeah, we get the drift. We get the drift, don't we? I haven't seen this. No.
Yeah. So, yeah. Alana, if you or I had have said that and just changed the words around, we would have been banned from the very platform that this guy now presides over.
Well, the premise of this tweet, if I look at it quickly, is that many people often don't necessarily conflate Muslims with extremists, but anyone in the know, including Pope Benedict, I might say, in 2005 in an inspiring speech, explained why the faith of Islam predisposes to extremism. It is impermeable to correction or reformation as Christianity has gone through and as Judaism is always going through, because we Jews fight all the time about correct dogma, right? We can't stop. And of course, dogma that was practiced in the Hebrew Testament is no longer. So the premise of that tweet, if the boss can just bring it up again so I don't forget, is that certainly we would say that Islam predisposes to extremism, but he is saying that if one makes that error, that it's the same. The analogy is correct to say that whiteness predisposes to racism.
Yeah,
and that's how I read this rather surprising and shocking radical tweet.
Absolutely, Alana. And that's a wonderful, concise summary of what he was saying. This is what this guy, and he's not any guy, he's the person now in charge of Twitter, which is, you know, one of the biggest social media platforms on this planet. But hey, guess what? That was him in 2020. That was him in 2010. Now, of course, naturally, the excuse is, well, that was a long time ago. We're all allowed to say things, tweet things that we can regret. Apparently not me, mind you. I'm not allowed to do that, except I don't regret it.
Because you're white, you're predisposed.
You see, I couldn't help myself.
Your history has the Enlightenment, the freeing of slaves, Magna Carta, the American Constitution and Bill of Rights. You're predisposed to racism with all that history.
It seems so. But this guy's going to make his mark on the platform because, Alana, he only moved into the position, I think yesterday or the last couple of days, he moved into the job. And so he then has put out his first mark on the new Twitter, if you like. And I wonder, can I bring this up to share this with you? Yeah. So this is the first stage in the new Twitter world. So Twitter has banned the sharing of I need to explain this to you. The images of people without their consent, which includes, for example, crowd scenes. So, for example, if there was a BLM protest going on, you couldn't show that. If there was people protesting against COVID tyranny, you couldn't show that.
Are you sure, David? Because this has far-reaching implications for a very successful interface. Twitter, I think, is brilliant in terms of the programming. I think it beats Parler as a zombie. You called it a zombie platform. I think the hashtags on Parler today would be election fraud, Trump. That kind of thing, right? So it's zombie. It's just not relevant. And Twitter is a very successful, technically, a very successful interface. I enjoy it.
Yes. Well, I enjoyed it too. They stopped having me on it, and then I didn't enjoy it as much. But
what happens if this is indeed what they mean? That you, for instance, Colin Flaherty's videos, which are nonstop black and white beatings, women, children, robberies. Yep. You have to petition the offenders in hoodies and masks for permission. Is that the case? Are you sure that's the legal?
Or risk a ban. Yeah.
Well, it's going to die on the vine. It really is. Wither. It's not going to survive.
You see, Lana, even things like, for example, if someone goes missing, I mean, for Twitter is very good for is a whole range of areas it's really good in. For example, if a child goes missing, they can put the photograph up, or, you know, if they're looking for an alleged rapist or someone like that, they can do that. They can use this great technology. But what Twitter has, and this is the first act of this guy, is to put in place a new set of rules, which in the guise of protecting privacy, it seems to me, is more egregious censorship, because it eats away, Alana, of at the heart, if you like, of social media, you know, that instant communications. So if I don't want my picture showing, then if someone shows my picture, I can appeal and they can get banned. How's that going to work out?
And this is going to destroy the citizen journalist that has been so instrumental in bringing us these cutting-edge videos. You won't have CNN. The most cutting-edge they had from the Kyle Rittenhouse was this is largely a peaceful protest and behind everything's burning. That's the most cutting-edge video that they've mastered. And so this and so many citizen journalists just went on the scene and filmed. This is going to destroy that as well, won't it?
Well, yeah. And think of some of the great undercover work that we've seen from Project Veritas and people like that. Again, citizen journalism. But if the people that have been filmed have not consented to their image, then it cannot go on Twitter. That appears to be what's in the new Twitter terms of service, which this guy, the first thing he's done, and actually, again, in the article, Alana, there is this talk about the fact that apparently the shareholders, the major investors and shareholder, they wanted Dorsey out the picture so they could get basically a more woke Twitter. And he seems to be delivering as required.
Yeah, look, I can understand Dorsey's got this enormous, quite a good square, is it?
His financial square,
and it's concentrated around Bitcoin. So anyone who concentrates on Bitcoin in the time when the dollar is collapsing is not all bad, right?
No, prescient, I would say. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So yeah. I guess he's leading these two large, enormous companies. Has that been done before? You know,
not on the scale.
You're a businessman.
Yeah, but I wish I led a £12 billion company. Because believe you me, if I did, two, then people would definitely know. But about my particular interest. But yeah, so I think it's interesting. But apparently, Twitter is going to basically change again, and for a platform which, in terms of the technology, Alana, is great. And in terms of some of the social uses, it's great. But can I just say, we're going to move on from this one in a sec. But one of my big problems about Twitter banning people, and I'm not referencing me, but just people in general, is that because governments and public authorities use Twitter to get out helpful information in some kind, sometimes to the population, you know, if there's fires or if there's accidents or whatever there is, you find out about it on Twitter more likely than any other source. But people that have been banned, they don't get to do that. They're excluded from the public square of information. And
yeah,
I think that's an iniquity.
I think you touch on the point that we have to come back with a full show, and that's because Twitter is far more than private property. It is needed, especially by libertarians. And I've done some of it, if I could say that, fresh thinking about theoretical underpinnings of social media, especially Twitter and Facebook and so on, when they can actually stymie natural rights of the individual, the unaggressive innocent individual. When a company can do that, there's a little bit more going on, and I think definitely you make me aware of the fact that we need to delve into this deeper. There's more than private property. They can do what they want. But you did make an important comment when you sent me this information, David, was that another one of this gentleman, Parag, one of his tweets was that Twitter is not bound by the First Amendment, which technically speaking, I guess is true. However, it does tell us something about his direction, don't you think?
I absolutely do. Yep. That's a big, a very bold statement for him to make. And in fact, the second part of that statement, if I recall, just tell him, he said that Twitter's not bound by the First Amendment. And then he goes on to talk. It's what does he then say, Alana, if you've got it there convenient? Because I think
he you sent this to me. He says that his role is to adjudicate healthy public discourse. Really? And let me remind you about one of our nemeses, that is your countryman, who's since become a celebrated American, Doug Murray, whom we've dissected. He's erroneous thinking. So this is very much actually along the lines of Doug Murray thinking, who keeps repeating this un-American statement that Twitter and Facebook other social media proprietors are not fit for purpose. Again, the premise of that statement is that there is someone fit for the purpose of censoring the other. Well, that's not in our Bill of Rights, Douglas Murray, no. And this gentleman clearly, the spirit of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution is certainly absent from his, the letter of the law, I'm not arguing, he can do it. But the spirit is not there, the spirit of the Bill of Rights and the American Constitution, just as it is not with Douglas Murray, but he's very smart, he adapts.
Yeah. Well, okay, so talking of adapting then, let's move on then to the other big issue, Alana, of the past 4 or 5 days since we got together last here. And that is, of course, that just as the festive period is around the corner, Christmas is in the distance, buying on cue, never mind Santa arriving, it's the OMG variant of COVID, which has suddenly appeared. And apparently Botswana was one of those countries was quoted, but South Africa has been very much in the crosshairs of the media and the Western political class. And it's like, for me, it's deja vu all over again. Here we have a part of the world outside the West, and bang, have they gone in big time. Isolate Africa, stop the flights from South Africa, isolate the people from South Africa. It's been unbelievable what the job that they're doing over the Omicron, but I prefer oh my god version, whatever you want to call it. what's your thoughts on that in terms of how this one has just suddenly hit the international media like a vengeance?
The oh my god variant, definitely the right moniker here for the Omicron. And isn't it interesting that the banning came, South Africa did the sensible and scientific thing. They are actually really surprising us all. During the riots, if you recall, I was quite proud of my homeland. And of course, people who don't know that I've written perhaps a definitive on the deconstruction of South Africa after democracy in 1994, Into the Cannibals Pot, the book, are very angry when I dare say anything. People want blanket, broad statements, no cognitive dissonance, South Africa bad. But during the riots, David, don't you think we really saw as awful as it was a few months ago when South Africa rioted, the establishment, there was a rich seam of decency.
There was.
Everyone came together in agreement that this was horrific. There were mass arrests. There was condemnation from Buthelezi to Ramaphosa to the man on the street, black or white, everyone united. There were vigilante people out protecting property irrespective of where it was. And a condemnation of what we in America have come to call peaceful riots. So we saw the moral inversion in America in the attitude to riots perpetrated by not the MAGA crowd, but the January 6th crowd is languishing without due process, but the Black Lives Matter got away with being called peaceful rioters. You know, looting was a communal, there's a book, looting is a communal activity that brings people together, and besides, insurance covers it. So this was the deforming perspective in America as opposed to South Africa. And I definitely noted that in Collins, for which I was condemned because I had not persisted in the thread that South Africa was really bad. And the same thing here. Unlike China, we did not close borders, and maybe that would have helped when patient number 10 was in my state, Washington State. Nobody closed borders. I mean, Trump made it more difficult and made, you know, temperature taking a compulsory thing as everybody streamed back from China, but there wasn't a serious border closing as there is now. So China did all that, irresponsible. There are rumors that COVID was present a month or two before.
Yeah.
And here we are, a mild variant, the oh my God variant by clinicians, people that are treating the disease. And then you go to the dual screen American TV or European, and I'm sure you see it in England. Yep. And there you have people who are politicians, not clinicians, know nothing about the new variant, making the rules.
Well, that's right. In fact, actually, if we can just bring up, and this was very on screen, this was very illuminating. And this was a South African doctor, I think, Dr. Angelique, is that, how do you pronounce that?
Angelique Kutsia.
And I've seen her actually interviewed as well. She speaks really well. And she speaks remarkably common sense. And all she said, Alana, was, as chair of the South African Medical Association, she's seen lots of things, but she can't believe the extraordinary global reaction that met her announcements that she had seen a young man in her surgery who had a case of COVID that turned out to be apparently the Omicron variant. And if everything she said, Alana, it's really measured. It's sensible. She's saying that this variant is mild, and nobody has been hospitalized with this variant. No one's fallen seriously ill. So what she's saying, and therefore South Africa, by definition, Southern Africa itself, is very, very, if we can just bring it up. As she says, no one in South Africa is known to have been hospitalized with this. So that's what South Africa is saying. Meanwhile, and here she is, with a halo around her, apparently. So that's good. And yet the West went into, oh my God, it's apocalypse now. The British government, in particular, Alana, I've got nothing but contempt for, because they instantly demonized South Africa, Botswana, Namibia, I think of 6 or 7 southern countries in the southern part of Africa. Instant bans, stop them coming, treating them like lepers. Flights arrived from, I think, South Africa to Amsterdam Airport. They weren't even letting them off the flight, as if these people were, you know, carrying the Great Plague.
What happened to testing? What happened to testing? Yeah. You know, shouldn't we were doing this last time, our last broadcast, we were doing this tongue-in-cheek. We were reminding the Austrians and the Germans who are thinking of quarantining, I think they might have already done so, their unvaccinated population. Yeah. We reminded them of their tongue-in-cheek, of course, of their fascistic past and the Star of David on the Jews and now on the unvaccinated. So, let's take out the racism pejorative and start speaking about that, because although I have no doubt that Europe and America are not racist, but let's use the left's tools on these people, you know. And David, what about the experts, Moderna, Pfizer? They are experts as well, commenting on the trajectory of a disease, patients of whom they have sufferers they have not treated, they have not seen the disease. South Africa has done the sequencing. I imagine by now we are as well. Why are vaccine manufacturers also in the picture in prescribing policy and looking at the trajectory of the disease? Isn't there a bit of a conflict of interest? Wouldn't you say?
I think there's a massive conflict of interest. you know, again, just going back to this article, our producer saying that, talking about the first Omicron case, the young man, it didn't occur to him that he had COVID. He didn't think he'd had COVID. He thought he'd been out in the sun too much. I wish, God, I wish that was a problem I had. after he tested positive. So, you know, and it's amazing. It's like two parallel worlds, Alana. The world of what's happening in South Africa and the world of what the media says. Now, I've got a surprise for you. This is a 60-second clip of a chap in South Africa talking about what he's experiencing in South Africa, like right now. And if we can play it, Alana, then I want you to tell me your response. So just cue up the clip here if we can and get this guy on the screen.
Called me today to say she's heard that they're going very badly in South Africa. And how are you? How are you handling it? So I'll tell you exactly what's happening in South Africa. Nothing. Today's figures, total infections, total new infections in South Africa, zero. Total new infections in England, 46,000. 46,000 new infections. We have zero new infections. Our populations are approximately the same. Oh, but let's blame Africa. The British have discovered a new variant in South Africa. Of course, it's the worst of all variants. It's dressed in a loincloth, carries a spear, and waits for you at the airport to chop your head off and crawl up your ass. So, yes, let's put South Africa back on the red list because they have zero new infections and we have 46,000 new infections today. So South Africa will have no tourist season. Companies and livelihoods will be decimated yet again. I've already had guests cancelling their Christmas and their journeys. I had guests leave today early from Spain because they're now afraid they won't be able to get back on a plane because the British have discovered a new variant in Africa. And of course, it's the worst variant ever. Meanwhile, we're all sat here having no new infections and getting on quite nicely. Thank you very much. So what's happening in South Africa? I'll tell you. I'm going to the pub where I'm going to drink a beer, which will cost me the equivalent of £1.
So yeah, David, I love it. You know how to get to my visceral gut response. So, in the tradition of, we've decided to do exactly what this gentleman is doing, and call them racists, even though they're not. We know that the British and the Americans are not racist, but the COVID cartel. Let's use the language. So I like that, in as much as he uses the language of the left. And he's obviously of the left. However, because we are hard truth and you have sent me all this information, they do have infections. They do have infections. I think it's gone up to about 4,500 per day. But hospitalizations in a nation of, so we are hard truth, right? So we love the spirit of the man and we adopt it. But we're going to give you the hard truth. They do have infections. Everybody, we're going to have flu. We have flu infections. We're going to have to live with this. Yeah. 4,500 apparently per day, gone up from 500. Hospitalizations only doubled to 580 in a nation of 60 million. So he's the gist of what he's saying, absolutely true. But we are going to have to, it's far more useful. The hard truth is that there are infections, hospitalizations very low, probably in compromised individuals. In addition, the South Africans have been very truthful. They have told us that the vaccinated are getting sick, and they cannot yet tell us because the test doesn't sequence. You test for the virus, you're not sequencing while you're testing. They can't tell us. Our COVID cartel has already told us the lie that the unvaccinated are the only ones getting sick, and the same is with variant, right? The South Africans are truthfully telling us they can't tell us, and they know that at least 77 of the cases have been among vaccinated people. So there's the hard truth.
And another hard truth is this. And again, I want to put this one to you, Alana. We see essentially the demonization of those African nations. I mean, Botswana was initially in the frame where four people tested positive for, All four of them are vaccinated. Oh, what a surprise. The media didn't talk about that. That was a shocker. But no, but that's my diversion. So we see Southern Africa being demonized. And round about March of this year, Alana, we saw India being demonized as well. And it's like, why does the West pick on these other areas as if they're some kind of, petri dish of foul infection? And then the brave and courageous West uses them basically for its own nefarious purposes. Within 24 hours of this being discovered in South Africa, Boris Johnson had gotten new legislation across into the UK, forcing English people back into masks, putting back the fear back into the population again. So very convenient, Alana. Very convenient timing, isn't it?
Well, the COVID cartel in America is almost purely feminized. And so these are top panickers. You know, they know nothing. A lot of them are not clinicians. They are savvy politicians. And so, and with the feminization of the medical front people and media and in all these organizations, CDC, so on and so forth. In fact, Tony Fauci should move over for a girl.
He could transition, couldn't he? He could always do that. He could try that. He could transition.
Drag. But in any case, the paternalistic attitude would come with the COVID cartel's gender, which would be very patronizing towards African nations. And we've seen first-class response, honesty, good science, quick sequencing, excellent clinicians identifying very subtle differences. There was nothing, there was nothing that prevented Angelique de Coutier from saying, oh, this is just flu. But no, she was on top of it. And she went to her epidemiologists, and they quickly got onto it and informed the world, unlike China. So they are being penalized, a poor nation, just come out from under awful riots that really stagnated their economy and the COVID lockdowns, and it's tragic. And so, yes, I'm totally with calling these females paternalistic, patronizing, and racist. How's that?
Well, if anything, you're far too reserved in these matters. They're worse than that, in my opinion, because we've had the chief medical officer for England yesterday. She came out and she declared that between now and Christmas, it would be best if people didn't socialize. She said that. She said, between now and Christmas, it would be probably kinder if you just didn't go to parties, didn't meet up with friends and stuff. That would be a good thing.
She does with a little bit of human warmth that a person can get in this day and age, right? Already, exactly. we are so atomized. We are so selfie-obsessed. We are so, so disconnected from one another. We don't speak. We text, and so the little human warmth that people do get, she'll get it. Don't worry. The slut, but we are not allowed the few hugs that are.
The hugs that get me banned from Taliban Tube. We're not allowed them. But mind you, Boris Johnson came out and said, no. He didn't agree with that. I don't. These people work together. They don't spontaneously issue comments.
Well, he is a nice young bride, you see.
I think he'll be getting a few hugs and maybe more between now and Christmas, but if he's a good boy. But it's been pretty shocking to see all of this happen so quickly, Alana. And we've seen that your esteemed president, Joe Biden, he came out and said he didn't think it was anything to worry about so long as you were vaccinated and wore a mask, which made me laugh. How insane is this administration, but Biden in particular? So if it's not a problem, Joe, why would you need a vaccine and why would you need a mask if it's not a problem?
It's not a problem provided you obey. Well, and the thing I wanted to ask you is, again, I'm back to the pharma state, because we are living under surveillance state, the pharma state, whatnot. And by the way, I don't give a damn about the Uyghurs. Okay, I'm an America first and an isolationist to an extent. Anyhow, Pfizer, Biotech, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, they are very confident that give them Well, a few weeks, and they will have the oh my God vaccine ready. And why not, David? I want to ask for your response. Make them and mandate them, right? That's the motto from the vaccine companies. When treatment is just about banned and centralized and controlled, there are thousands of amazing clinicians who are working, off the radar, very, very nervous about treating disease. When the pharma state won't allow treatment, when longitudinal studies, long-term studies, controlled studies of vaccines are not necessary any longer. This one went to market in 6 months. The last vaccine I took for shingles had a much longer study period, and I was comfortable taking it. And when no liability attaches to the vaccines, so of course they're ready to make them and mandate them. What do you think?
Well, I do. And actually, Alana, just before we've come on air, there was a really interesting statement made by a German lady, Ursula von der Leyen, who's president of the European Commission. So she's one of the top honchos. And she was just shooting the breeze intellectually. And she said, maybe it's time to mandate vaccinations across Europe, as in everyone has to be jabbed. Everyone. So to your point, Alana, to your point, this is the direction of travel. And on top of that, and you touched on something which is, I think we should take just 2 minutes to talk on. Why can't we actually have treatments? Why don't we allow treatments for COVID-19? Not vaccines, because vaccines essentially aren't a treatment if you have it. And remember, the vaccines don't stop you getting it. So if we've got things like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, and if we've got monoclonal antibodies, why would one not use those to help people?
I never make arguments from motivation. I think they're wrong, but I think you're right to point out that as soon as Ron DeSantis of Florida, Governor of Florida, set up clinics with this FDA-approved monoclonal, quickly the Biden administration moved to centralize and to limit distribution. And of course, if it's left to the free market, when we began this with this plague, N95s, you couldn't get them. And the free market gave us N95s, even in sexy black. So, just leave it to the market and to private, truly private medicine, which we don't have in this country. You, of course, have socialized two-tier medicine. So leave it to the market, and you will have treatment that we are not allowed to, ourselves as intelligent individuals with initiative. We know what we would like to try, but we are not allowed to advocate for it because I guess not medics, but there are so many, like Peter McCullough, he actually a clinician who cries when he loses a patient, but he's been treating people at the point of threats to his license. I mean, this man is brilliant and a clinician with a heart. And when he speaks about treating, he just threw everything at it. That's what doctors have done since time immemorial. Throw approved drugs at things. These are approved drugs. Throw it at it. When he speaks about saving his 90-year-old father with just throwing everything at it. And if I think of, I guess, you and I have discussed IBS, which I have. When I think of my own doctor who saw my pain, and there's nothing approved. There's some things that are approved at the time. There's nothing approved for the pain. Oh, he just was so filled with compassion. He just threw everything he could at it. If you want to try this, let's try. But COVID, And actually, it's apropos. Today's December 1, is it? Yes. So it's International AIDS Day, I think, HIV/AIDS Day. And just think about it. If we keep repeating this each broadcast of ours, but if Fauci, in those days when he was the hero of the community, the gay community that was being affected mainly, if he had said only vaccines, no treatment, imagine. And you know what? I think that the gays then today, they've become utter complete bores. All they want is state approval for their marriage licenses and to go hand in hand, give having been given the approval of the state, get a pension and retire from their previous feisty activism. If the gays of those days of the 80s had been told only vaccine, no AZT, no treatment, they would have been up in arms. But we just take it. We just take it.
Yeah. It is disturbing. I think, Alana, what we will do is on that hard truth as well. I mean, I think we've probably been proceedings to an end, but it is certainly instructive to contrast then and now, as you've just done, and then to consider looking forward, where is this all leading us to? You know, because there are some very ominous dark clouds gathering, not just across the continent here in the European zone, but across the America and elsewhere, and down in our Antipodean friends, down in Australia.
Yes, David, you're the one who brought to light the issue of North Australia. You told me about what's happening. I heard because my ears pricked up because it was reported that someone escaped a COVID quarantine. Perfectly serious. Do you know about that? But in Northern Australia, and that the authorities were on the hunt for this person who had escaped a COVID quarantine, scaled the fence.
Yeah,
that is tragic.
True story. And actually, I think some of the Aboriginal community in that area, I'm not sure if these were members of that community, but here we see a minority, just think about this, we'll finish in this, minority groups being put into camps, some of them wanting to flee the camps, climbing the fences to get out. You don't have to be a genius to work out that there's unfortunate echoes here, and yet that's Australia, part of the British Commonwealth, Alana, I'll have you know.
Yes,
it's shocking to me as a British
David,
person.
I know you want us to fail, and you're a good taskmaster, but you send me so much good information that I have to ask you about this. You send me a very interesting journal article about mutation. So just tell us, lead us out with this, why mutation should not be conjure such fear. Tell us.
You see, it shouldn't. But Alana, I think you talked earlier about good scientists and good doctors and good epidemiologists and good virologists. I met with a Swedish epidemiologist the other day at an event I was at. I was telling you about in England. Met this really nice lady, and these people understand. They understand science. That's what they do, and they know that it is a matter of observable fact over a long time that viruses mutate all the time. It's the natural evolutionary process, and the arising of new mutations tends to happen pretty much at the same time, more or less, across the world. So this notion that some are saying that, oh, well, we have to stop international travel and we've got to close airports and that won't stop it. And a great example is in Scotland of all places, which is a fair distance from South Africa, Alana, on the map. If you check Scotland and South Africa, they're long. They had cases of Omicron totally disconnected with travel. Why was that? It's because the virus is... it's natural. Yeah. It's so natural. And the thing that makes me most furious is they know it's natural, and they instead project this alternative story, which the media then magnifies and amplifies, and people think, oh, if we stop the travel, if we shut the borders, if we do this, that will stop it from happening. It won't.
Or if we vaccinate, that will the unvaccinated. That was another meme that appeared with the COVID cartel cretins. The unvaccinated harbor mutations, and so is this such a ridiculous And also mutation is generally because the virus, the little RNA strand is such a clever little coil, imperceptible coil, mutates toward a less virulent instantiation of the virus so that it can survive.
Absolutely, yeah. The best thing that we could do is let Omicron go everywhere, because Omicron, as our South African friends have said, it's mild. It does not lead to serious infection or death at this point anyway. And that's what happens with viruses. You know, you do not need to have this obsession on vaccine and boosters and all the rest of it. But that's where we are. And I think it's right, Alana, that we take these opportunities to raise questions and other people can go and do research and, you know, they can check us out and they can draw their own conclusions. Critical thinking.
Exactly. And as much as we love that feisty British gentleman living in South Africa, some of his facts were wrong. His spirit was absolutely correct.
And actually, the final thing I would just say with regard to him, I don't know exactly what his background was, but he seemed to be in hospitality. And his big concern is that by shutting down the tourism trade into South Africa at this time,
that's tragic. Sad.
Yeah. And that's something, Alana, that a lot of people don't get, that if you close down those countries, you're causing so many people, you're damaging the economy, you're risking their jobs, you're causing unlimited damage.
Untold damage and misery and you're throttling the poorest. It's just so sad. It's so sad, really, especially since they've done the right thing. And also, I don't think Canada has banned us, bless them. They've banned America on and off. Canada and Trudeau are crazy, but certainly no one thinks of banning influx of Chinese tourists, right?
No, that's strange. I wonder why that might. Well, on that thought, which we will leave dangling in the air for our viewers and our listeners, Alana, we will take our leave from you here on Hard Truth. But my thanks to Alana. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to everyone for watching. Share it, subscribe, all the usual stuff. And Alana and I will be back to see you this time next week. So thanks again for all your support, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. Bye, David.